Hi, it's Wade Sutton of Rocket to the Stars, and you're listening to the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 64.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey everybody, what's up? Jan Ilunga here with the Jazz Spotlight Podcast, episode 64. As you can hear from my voice, I'm super, super, super excited about today's episode. If you're listening and you're a musician, you're in the right place because we're going to talk about a very important component of your music promotion strategy. We're going to talk about your EPK, your electronic press kit. And in case you're thinking, well, Jan, but you know, I don't even have press coverage, so why do I need an EPK? You really should start creating your EPK right now, even if you don't have press coverage. And you're going to hear about the reason why you really need an EPK, even if you don't have any press coverage. You know, I really want to stress this because I think that many of you may be thinking that, you know, since I haven't gotten any press coverage, why do I have to spend time or and money in an EPK? Well, you're going to hear about the reasons why you really need one. And my guest today, it's a great guest. He's the founder of Rocket to the Stars, Wade Sutton. I don't want to take any more of your time. I want to dive right into today's content. Just want to tell you that, like always, you find the show notes with the links to everything Wade and I talk about at thejazzspotlight.com/episode64. Here is how to craft a killer EPK with Wade Sutton. Have fun. Hey everyone, I'm here for another episode of the Jazz Spotlight Podcast. And this one is probably one of my favorite ones because we're going to talk about something that every one of you who's listening, who is an artist, need. We're going to talk about EPK, so electronic press kit. And really, we're going to talk about specific aspects. So first of all, you know, why you need one, what should be included in the in your EPK, and much, much, much more. And what a guest I have here today. My guest is the founder of Rocket to the Stars, a marketing and media consulting company that really helps people, you know, in the music industry, singers, bands, musicians, instrumentalists around the world. And I'm super excited to have on the podcast Wade Sutton. Hey, Wade, how is your day going?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's get started right away. First of all, thank you for being here. It's so nice to have you here on the podcast. I'm really, really pumped. And I want to ask you about, to tell the listeners a little bit more about Rocket to the Stars. I gave a very, very, very short intro about what Rocket to the Stars is, but can you tell the listeners a little bit more about what it is and what you guys do?
Yeah, it's really interesting how Rocket to the Stars came about, because initially what Rocket to the Stars was a very large-scale singing competition in Western Pennsylvania. And it was something I had started a few years ago to kind of, you know, pump up the community a little bit. Where I live in Western Pennsylvania, it's actually a very small town. The population's about 19,000 people. But for as small as it is, we're actually the home of the headquarters of two of the largest fireworks companies in the world. And every year we have there's an annual fireworks festival that takes place that draws in a lot of people. So there are a lot of different events that would go on at the festival. And one of them was this singing competition. And it was very small at first. And I was there one day and I saw it, and I just it was kind of like I had this epiphany. And I thought, well, you know, we could really blow this up into something big. So I kind of came in and I took it over. And, you know, with the permission and the blessing from the local county tourist promotion agency, because they were the ones that owned it up to that point. And we blew it up into this major thing. The first year we did it, at our finals, we had a live crowd of about 27,000 people. And it was broadcast live on a 50,000 watt FM radio station. And we really made a lot of waves when we did that. So the following year, I brought in a really good friend of mine, and he's an incredible voice instructor. His name is James Meany. And James and I kind of started to evolve it into not so much a singing competition, but more an artist development competition. So if you made it through the auditions, every weekend, no matter how far away you lived, you had to come into town because we were doing development work. And it was everything from voice to how you produce your live show to how you're marketing yourself, dealing with the media, all that stuff. And it was really well received. But what happened was about a year and a half ago, I started to change the focus of it, not so much on the competition, but on the actual education program. And that's when we started doing everything online. I started writing articles about it. And that's when things really, really started to take off. I met up with, with Rick Barker, who used to manage Taylor Swift. And Rick and I ended up publishing a book together last summer. I went down to Nashville last summer and spoke at the Songwriting and Music Business Conference. And it's been so well received. I feel so blessed. And it's great to be able to help so many artists in so many different aspects of their careers, because I don't only help them with the PR stuff. I also teach live performance. I teach them how to produce their live shows. And I help a lot of them with creating the core foundation of what a music business is, so that they can actually start to get some traction and teach them how to expand their fan base.
Okay, that's, you know, Wade, I'd been wondering where the name Rocket to the Stars came from. So thank you for, you know, for telling us the story behind the name. And you mentioned the book you wrote with Rick Barker, and you talked about how Rocket to the Stars became more and more kind of also an educational tool. So where participants had to come into town to attend the panels or the workshops. And guys, obviously now you don't have to worry. You don't have to travel all the way there. You can simply go to rockettothestars.com. You can find the website there where there are incredible resources, some of which we're going to talk about also this episode. And one thing I want you to do, guys, go to rockettothestars.com and sign up for Wade's newsletter so that you get a copy of the free book, the book that he wrote with Taylor Swift, a former manager Rick Barker of Music Industry Blueprint. And also you're going to get some valuable tips sent to your email list, to your email address. So things like, you know, when should you hire a manager? What happens on radio tour? How do you get sponsorships and much, much more? So definitely go to rockettothestars.com and sign up for Wade's newsletter. All right, Wade, I want to ask you, first of all, so we talk about electronic press kits today, EPK, and, you know, kind of the first questions that I'm sure some artists who are listening to you and I are asking themselves is, you know, why would I need an EPK? So what would you tell them? Why do artists need an EPK?
Well, I know a lot of artists have a tendency to try to merge their website with what they believe an EPK is supposed to be. I mean, they think, you know, my contact information is on my website, so what, you know, why do I really need a press kit? And basically the way that I present that to them is, and mind you, before I started Rocket to the Stars, I was actually a radio journalist for about 18 years. So I know what it's like to be on the side of the reporter trying to cover this stuff. When you build a website, your website's designed to do two things. Your website is designed to meet the communicative needs of your fans, and it is also to get people to sign up for your email list so that you can market to them directly. But the purpose of the electronic press kit, whereas the actual website meets the communicative needs of the fans, the electronic press kit is designed to meet the communicative needs of the media and of owners and operators of venues at where you might end up being booked. And those communicative needs are two very, very, very different things. The information that the media is seeking is going to be in greater detail than what you're probably going to be providing on your website. One of the biggest differences comes in the biographies between the two. So like I tell people on an artist's website, I tell them all the time, keep your biography short. There's no reason for the biography to be any longer than three short paragraphs. And when I say short, I mean like two or three lines per paragraph. The reason for that is because a lot of fans, when they go to an artist's website, they're more likely than not, they're going to check out some of the music and they might scan over the biography. They're not going to read a very long one. So a lot of times when we work on those bios, I tell them, keep it short and let's find information that the fans are going to find interesting about you, which sometimes is different than the information you find interesting about yourself. And that's what goes on with the bio over there. The bio on the press kit is much different. Usually that's where you want to have your longer bio that goes more into depth about the different things that you've done. But the writing style on the bios on the EPKs, the way that I design them, and I have a lot of success with this, is I write that biography as if it was an article that was going to go into a newspaper or a magazine. And the reason I do that is because with the electronic press kit, one of the goals is to do everything you possibly can to make life as easy as possible for the reporter that's thinking about covering you. And the easier you can make their life, the more likely you are to have them actually cover you. You know, a lot of people, they don't realize it. And I know you had wanted to talk about PR mistakes, and this kind of falls into that. A lot of people don't realize how stressful it is being a reporter. You have a lot of deadlines that you're dealing with. You get a lot of stuff thrown at you that you have to do in a very short period of time. And that's why the press kit is such an invaluable tool, is because everything that the reporter is going to need is going to be there so that they don't have to always pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, can you send me this? I need this. And then, you know, half a day later, they're calling you because they realize they need you to send something else that you don't already have ready and available for them. So that can be press photos. That can be links that take them to other articles and other media coverage that you've had with other resources that they can pull background information from. That includes, you know, links to websites, links to social media. But the thing about the biography on the press kit is if you write it like it's an article and you can write it on a high enough level of quality, a lot of times what'll end up happening is a reporter will copy and paste that biography right into their publication and slap their own byline on it. I've seen that happen a bunch of times, not just with the biographies on the press kits, but even with press releases.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of media outlets, whether you're talking about newspapers, radio stations, TV stations, almost all of them subscribe to some sort of a wire service. So whether it's the Associated Press, Reuters, Metro News, whatever the case may be, and they subscribe to them so that when the Associated Press or Reuters sends them a story over their wire, they can copy and paste that right into their newscast, right into their publication. They do that because it saves them time. They don't have staff that can be everywhere at every moment. So we kind of take the same approach with the electronic press kit. We say, okay, how can we do as much of their work for them so that they don't have to do it on their own? And when you see a biography that I've written for an electronic press kit, you'll see quotes from the artist. I try to hone in on what the reporter would find interesting about the artist. And what's great about it is if you can get them to copy and paste it, if you can present the information to them like that, one of the hidden advantages is it gives you an ability to have greater control over the flow of the information. And that is really important. I'll give you a great example. A lot of the artists that I work with, when they're just starting out, they'll take two or three downloads of some of their songs, and then they'll offer those songs for free in exchange for getting somebody's email address. And then they learn how to market to them later down the road so that they do end up making money off that person. But, you know, it's important to get out there that they are actually giving away some of that music. So a lot of times what I'll do is when I write that bio, I make sure that there's some sort of mention of that in more often than not in the second paragraph. And I put it there because I want to make sure people see it early, but I want to make sure too that if a publication is going to actually copy and paste that bio, sometimes they don't have room for the entire thing. So they'll chop a few paragraphs off of the end to make room. So it's really important that we put that those details that really stick out in the first two paragraphs so that they don't get lobbed off. And that's what, so that's one of the things that's in the press kit that's really important. Another thing that we write is, we call it a 15-second radio pitch. And basically what that is if a radio disc jockey is going to talk about the artist very briefly between songs, more often than not, they only have like 10 or 15 seconds to say anything. So they're coming out of one song, they're fading, you know, it's fading out, getting ready to go into the intro of another song. They only have a few seconds. So we write that 15-second radio pitch so that the radio station doesn't have to write it or have to wing it when they're trying to come up with something to say about the artist.
I like it. And, you know, wait, some of the things you said, I'm really, you know, are kind of really my bread and butter because I have, my background is actually in communication and journalism. And it's interesting what you talk when you said about, you know, for example, journalists sometimes just copy pasting, for example, press releases or electronic press kit. And that's something that I've seen very well also when I was working, for example, at the press office of music festivals and we were writing press release. And we would see the press release exactly copied and pasted on the newspaper, maybe with a different title. So that's definitely one of the reasons why you guys should really kind of invest time in, you know, crafting a killer EPK, and the bio in the EPK should be really done so that, as Wade said, that it's written at a high level that, you know, kind of makes it easier for reporters to share it, or even the 15 seconds kind of radio pitch that, you know, there is something that, you know, like in 10 seconds, they can say something about you that it's, you know, straight to the point and tells exactly what you guys are doing. And you also, wait, you also talked about the difference between the bio that is on the website and the one on the electronic press kit. So you said that the bio for the website should be short, much shorter, and should be more kind of written for the fans, like with the fans in mind. So that it should include something that can be interesting for the fans. Whereas the one in the EPK can be even a bit longer and should be targeted, as you told us, for as a member of the press, venue owners, PR people, festival organizers, and all those people. And what I wanted to ask you is, in terms of features of an EPK, what do you think are the kind of the must-have features of an electronic press kit? You told us about the bio, the press quotes. What else?
You want to have the biography. You want to have selections of your music available to the person that's visiting it. And I tell people all the time, make sure that those are being streamed. Don't put the reporter in a position where they have to take the time to download something, open it. Just make it so they can just hit the button and hear the music. Another thing that's really important is, as far as the biography and the 15-second radio pitch, not only that you have the text on the EPK that they can go to the website and read it right there, you should also have the bio and the 15-second radio pitch, a button on there where they can actually download the text. And the reason for that is I speak to a lot of my former reporter colleagues every once in a while, and I go back to them and say, okay, you know, what are you seeing that people are doing with these that, you know, are really good and things that they need help with and stuff like that. And, one of them mentioned to me about a year ago, his name is Scott Taddy, and he works for a newspaper outside of Pittsburgh. And Scott's really involved with the music scene. It's all he does is he covers music. And he said, you know what? He said, when somebody sends us text that we want to use, whether it's on their website or their press kit, and he said, sometimes when I try to copy and paste it, when I paste it over, the formatting gets all screwed up. And he said, it's on some websites, and, you know, other times it's not on others, but he said every once in a while that happens, like all the paragraphs will be mushed together. And he said, you know, it would be really helpful and save us time and anxiety if we could just download that in a WordPad file so that when we open it up, everything's formatted the way that it should be formatted. So As soon as I had that conversation with him, I started adding those download buttons for everything. And it's helped out. So I would definitely make sure you keep those in mind. The music selections that we talked about, you have those streaming. The media coverage, when you're providing those links, a good idea is to create a page that has all of the media coverage that you've had. And for each one, instead of just putting a link, there should be some kind of a tease about what the article was or what the coverage was, who provided the coverage, you know, was it radio, was it television, and then have the link. So a lot of times what I'll do is like, say it's a newspaper article. I'll put the headline of the article. I'll put the byline of the writer. I'll put the name of the publication. I'll put usually the first paragraph or two of the story, and then I'll put a link that says to read the rest of the article, click here, and then send them over to it. If it's radio coverage and you have the MP3, make sure the MP3 is on there for the people to listen to. If you had a TV appearance, you know, if you were on like a local TV news show and you were on in the morning performing, I tell people, make sure you get that link to so that you can have the video on there for the reporters to actually watch it. Those are really important. The press photos, this is a whole nother beast. The press photos, you want to have them available for download. But I know in talking to some of the media people that I go back and forth with on this stuff, they say this is probably one of the most problematic things when it comes to them dealing with artists is the issue with the photos. A lot of times they say when artists send them photos, they're not high enough resolution for them to use. Another problem that the media people run into with the press photos is somebody will go out and get pictures taken and they're not paying enough attention to some of the things that are in the background. So an example, the guy that I talked about earlier, Scott Taddy at the Beaver County Times, he was telling me that he was going to do an article on a band and he told them that he needed them to send him a photo. So they sent him a picture. And the picture was taken at Point Park in Pittsburgh, which is, if you see Pittsburgh featured on television, it's that point in the city where the three rivers meet. And there's the big water fountain mm-hmm. that everybody always sees. They had the picture taken there, but what they didn't realize was in the background, you could see a really big sign on a building for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, which is the Beaver County Times' primary competitor. And Scott called them and he said, I'm not using this picture. And they said, well, you know, that's the only picture we have. And he said, well, then there's not going to be a picture. He said, I can't put that in. He said, I'll get fired if I submit that picture. So, you know, you need to think about things like that. Another thing, too, is you should always have some headshots available on your press kit. The reason for that is if a print publication is going to do an article on you, say, again, a newspaper. And they're doing their layout. Going into doing the article, the reporter might not know exactly how much room they're going to get in the layout. Sometimes you get enough room that you can justify putting in a larger picture, maybe of everybody in the band, you know, maybe something of you guys performing live. But sometimes that's not what happens. Sometimes there's not room for a big picture, but the reporter says, you know what? I can at least squeeze a headshot in here of the lead singer or whomever it is that's in the band that's local for that publication. So when that happens, they need to have a headshot. So that's why I tell artists all the time, if you're going to go get pictures taken, make sure you get a headshot. Nothing fancy, just you looking straight forward in the camera from the shoulders up, a nice picture so that they can have that in there and include it in the article. So that you want to make sure you have that in there too. A contact page. I mean, obviously you want to have a contact box where there's a widget where they can just message you directly from the EPK. But you also want to make sure that the phone number is in there. You want to make sure that the email address that you check more than any email address, make sure that's in there. And a phone number, because when the reporter's working on the story and dealing with some kind of a deadline, it's not uncommon. And you know this from having a communications background and stuff with press releases. It's not uncommon for a reporter to be sitting there working on something 20 minutes before a deadline
yeah.
and need to know something right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that falls into one of the big PR mistakes that a lot of bands make, is they don't check their email every day. I know a lot that'll check their email maybe once every 3 or 4 days. And that's probably because they don't have they don't have enough going on yet that they feel that it's warranted checking it every single day. But when you have a reporter doing an article on you, you better be checking it 3 or 4 times a day, because you never know when they're going to send something and say, "Hey, I need this, so that I can get this article done in time." I know artists that have waited 2 or 3 days, they check, they see it. By that time, the deadline has passed and the reporter's moved on to covering somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. And Wade, I wanted to ask you something about the pictures. You gave out some very specific tips on the EPK, and I think they were very clear. I wanted to ask you something about the pictures, though. First of all, do you have some tips in terms of, should it be landscape-oriented picture or portrait-oriented picture? And the second question is, if it's a band, you mentioned the headshot, should there be, for example, a picture of the whole group and then a single headshot for each band member, or...
Let me address the first question. The first question, whether or not it should be like a landscape or what should be in the background. A lot of that's going to depend on the band's brand. What's their message? What kind of band are they? You could do something with a landscape in the background.
Sorry to interrupt you. I mean the orientation of the picture. Like, should it be horizontal picture, vertical, or should there be at least one of each? In that sense, also thinking about newspapers and media, what does your experience say?
I would have a mixture of both. And the reason I say that is because more often than not, if a newspaper is going to have a good size picture in there, they're probably going to want one that's in a landscape format. But if you're talking about a magazine, magazines, when they do articles, are going to have a greater tendency to include multiple pictures. So with a magazine, if you pick up a magazine and you open it up, you're going to see pictures. Some are going to be landscapes, are going to be upright. And it's just going to depend on what they're doing with their layout. So it's good to have a combination of both. I would say between the two, the ones that will see the most use will be the ones that are in landscape. As far as the headshots are concerned, I would definitely have headshots of everybody in the band individually. The reason for that is if let's say somebody is doing an article on a band. Sometimes the people that are in the band are from different cities, different regions. They've all kind of come together in one spot. You might have a situation where, say, hypothetically, there is a newspaper that is in the town of where the drummer is from. And they're wanting to cover the band because of the local connection with the drummer. So they're probably going to be more likely to want to use a picture of the drummer than they are the lead singer.
Yeah.
Because their local people, they're going to want to know about, well, what's the drummer up to? We knew him in school. He's grown up. He's gone on to bigger and better things. That's why they're doing the article to begin with, is because there's the local tie. So everything is around that particular musician. You can have that happen with the drummer. You can have it with a guitar player, a bass player. Whatever. So it's good to make sure that you have headshots of each individual musician, just in case something like that happens.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for that clarification. I wanted to make sure that those who are listening, who are in a band, can get the most out of that aspect of the electronic press kit. So Wade, you told us so much on this episode. You told us, kind of what an EPK is, its purpose, how it differs from a bio. You told us, you gave out some tips on what to include in the bio. So something that, kind of appeals to the fans, whereas the electronic press kit is more for, media and NPR people. And now you told us about the features of the EPK. And now you gave some clarifications on the photo aspects of the EPK. And a question I want to ask you, you kind of addressed it you addressed it a little bit, and it's about PR. So the kind of the common PR mistakes musicians make. You told us already, for example, about, you know, not checking the email at least once a day. Are there other mistakes that you've seen often and you still see often today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I sit down and I talk to artists about this kind of thing, one of the things that I say to them is you need to understand the difference between promotions and public relations. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them don't, because I know a lot of artists, when I say, well, what are you doing on the PR front? A common answer I get from people is, well, you know, I'm on Facebook, yeah. and putting stuff on there. And then that's when I have to say, well, no. That's promotions. What are you doing with PR? And they don't understand the difference. So the definitions that I give them to kind of give them a little bit of insight is I tell them promotions are the things that you do to try to get attention. Okay. PR is made up of the things you do to try to get respect.
Mm-hmm. I like and those are
two very different things. So while your website is a big part of what you do promotionally, how professional the website looks is going to be a factor in what you're doing with your PR and whether or not people are going to take you seriously and say, okay, this is, you know, they're really professional in what they're doing. That's all, you know, part of your band's image, which is, you know, that's PR. One of the mistakes I see people make is they wait too long. So in reference to a press kit, I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't need a press kit right now because I really don't have a lot of media coverage going on. That is a huge mistake, because a lot of times what's going to happen is something is going to take place. Lightning is going to strike, and you're not going to have the press kit in place when you need it the most. I tell people a story every once in a while. There was a young lady who came through our competition when we were doing it, and she was 16 or 17 at the time. And I had spoken to her often about, you know, you need to get a website and a press kit. You need to have that stuff in place. And it just went in one ear and out the other. And in the meantime, James Meany, the voice instructor, was talking to her about putting out more videos on her YouTube channel. And Kirsten, very nice girl. Kirsten was born, she had a birth defect when she was born, and her right arm from the elbow down was missing. And that plays a role in this story. So she decided one day she was going to make a video to put up on her YouTube channel. And it was her sitting at her dining room table with a Tupperware container. And she was singing the cup song from the movie Pitch Perfect. and she was, you know, she was doing the beat and everything with the Tupperware container and clapping everything up, but she's doing it with one arm. So she posts the video on her YouTube channel, and a couple of days later it started to get shared on Facebook. And all of a sudden the video went viral. And within a matter of a few days, the video had something like 100,000 views on Facebook. And everybody's, you know, they're watching it. She had a great voice. Everybody loved hearing her sing it. But what was happening was people were being drawn to it because of the inspiration value. You know, the fact that this girl has one arm and she's sitting there doing this song and, you know, not letting the disability hold her back from doing some of this stuff. And she had views from all over the world. I mean, people were trying to contact her. They were trying to figure out who she was. The video went viral on a Wednesday. The following Friday night, I had two major television stations from Pittsburgh at her house. And they were interviewing her. So she was on TV and all this stuff was going on. She had no website. She had no electronic press kit. So what happened was, once the tidal wave of the publicity hit and then started to kind of subside, things went back to being the way they were beforehand. You know, she didn't have the website up to start capturing the emails from the people who fell in love with her because of the video. So she had no way to continue with that traction and use that to actually help her as far as a music business goes. And we've seen stuff like this happen before. Like I said, lightning strikes and people think, well, I don't need the press kit until I already have the coverage. you need the press kit in place for when the coverage begins. Because if you don't, you might have a situation like this take place. And if something like this happens, I tell people, if your dream is to become a musician and to actually have that be your career, you know, everybody talks about, oh, if I can just have something go viral and everybody can see me, if I can just have one thing happen, my life will be great. When it happens and then you don't have that stuff in place, after a few days, you're going to go back to being the person that you were beforehand, and you are going to really regret not having that stuff in place before it happened.
Wade, a very inspiring story and some great tips here on this episode. And guys, you know, some of the things Wade had discussed here with us are also featured in a few posts that he has written that you can find on Rocket to the Stars. And you find the links to those posts in the show notes, along with all the other things Wade and I have discussed in this episode. And one of the things I quickly want to address, and you will also find the link to that, is the services tab of rockettothestars.com, because there you find all the services that Rocket to the Stars provides, including samples of biographies. So there are the short bios, long bios, there are some press releases, electronic press kits, web design, and much, much more. So, Wade, I was wondering if you wanted to tell us a little bit more about this, and if there is something else you want to tell us, maybe about your email list or your book.
Well, yeah, two things. One, when you sign up to get the copy of the book, that's going to put you on the email list that I, you know, send information out to the artists that I work with. It's really beneficial to be on that email list, not just because I'm going to constantly be in touch with you and give you some ideas, but there are other things that I do kind of behind the scenes to help out the artists that I work with. A great example is here in the next couple of days, I have a meeting with a guy that owns a t-shirt printing company. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to hammer out a deal with him where I can get t-shirts for the artists that I work with personally and the ones on my email list. Get t-shirts at rates for them for their merchandise table that are maybe cheaper than what they're paying right now. So I'm always looking to try to do things like that, because I understand, you know, when you're an artist and you're trying to do everything yourself, and you're trying to learn about, you know, how you create that music business, every penny counts. And I know that. So that's one of the reasons why I go out and I try to find some deals like this that I can work with people. And then I come back to the artists that are on the email list and I say, look, this is what I've got worked out. If these prices are better than what you're paying right now, let me know and I can get you in touch with the person. And more often than not, that kind of a discount is only available to my clients and the people that are on the email list. Because I pull a lot of strings and favors to make those things happen. So it's real beneficial from that respect. As far as the services page, you know, I, like you said, I do a lot of the work with the biographies, writing press releases, designing the press kits, designing websites and things like that. But one of the other things that I do in the background is I do live music production and I teach performance. And I approach it a little bit differently than what some other people do. When I'm actually producing a live show for a client, the goal is to put together a show that the people that are there that they remember. I do not allow my clients to just stand there with a guitar behind a microphone and sing. It's way more elaborate. But the goal is to do two things. One, to put on a show that is so entertaining that people want to buy more merchandise from you because they want to remember that night. And two, that the show is so entertaining and that we connect with them in a manner that those people walk out of there signed up on your email list. I've had shows that I've done with people where I know the one girl in particular, there's an article about it on the website. She was doing an acoustic show at a coffee house and there was about 100 people there. We got 75 of those 100 people signed up on her email list.
Wow.
and that is a mind-blowing rate. And she actually, she was doing that show as part of a charity thing for the coffee house. And the money that she brought in for the donations from that show, she didn't just break the coffee house's record for that series. She broke it by more than double.
Whoa.
So wow. That's the goal with the live music production. And that's one of the things that I do. And I could do all of that over Skype. I work with people throughout North America. I work with people in Europe. You know, so don't think, well, you know, he's in Western Pennsylvania, that's where I have to be. You don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds good. And again, guys, you can, you know, you can find more information about also how to get in touch with Wade on the website rockettothestars.com, or also on Twitter. You can reach out to Wade on Twitter at rockettothesta1. You can also tweet Wade. And the last question, Wade, I want to ask you is about the book. So when someone signs up for the your email list, gets the book you wrote with Rick Barker. Can you tell the listeners a couple of things about the book and what they can expect from it?
Yeah, it's called The $150,000 Music Degree. And what's great about getting that for free, signing up for the email list, we actually sell that book on Amazon for $10. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a $10 value. You can get it for free signing up for the email list. And really what Rick and I were trying to do was we wanted to cover a bunch of different subjects that we felt were important to what artists, you know, what they need to know. And Rick, with his background managing Taylor for a couple of years, he does a lot of consulting work with major labels. I know he's consulted with Sony Music. He does a lot of stuff with Big Machine Records. And Rick, like me, has a radio background. He initially came up through radio. He was program director in California. So we covered a lot of things regarding, you know, what is it that the labels are really looking for? Not every person who picks up an instrument or a microphone is looking to get signed by a label, but some of them are. For some of them, that's the dream. So we wanted to explore that a little bit, what it is that the labels are really looking for. We went into some things dealing with interacting with the media. We talk a lot about the mindset that you need to have success in music, the way you work with others, that relationship between the artist and the venues, which I know a lot of times is a very strained relationship. We talk about that. I know there's a section that's in there that deals with hearing loss in singers and musicians. For that, I had an opportunity to interview Dr. Catherine Palmer. She's one of the top hearing doctors in the United States. Okay. And she specializes in things in hearing issues dealing with musicians. So there's a lot of great information that's in there. I've had so many people get back to me after reading it saying not only how helpful it was, but they've read it multiple times. Even Dierks Bentley, the country music singer, he's read it. I have a picture of him holding it.
Okay. No, sounds like not only, you know, like fun, but also Wade told us that, you know, the book has some incredible tips. You will get more tips or through the email list, and also some discounts. You know, Wade said, for example, it could be t-shirt or it could be something else. And as he said, you can reach out to him, you know, via Skype, Twitter, rockettothestars.com. You can find him pretty much everywhere. Wade Sutton, I want to thank you so much for being here on the podcast, telling us more about the great things you do at Rocket to the Stars, and for telling us more about electronic press kits and, you know, kind of the world of you know, the relationship between musicians and PR and journalists. So thanks you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. We are back. Wade, thank you so very much for your contribution to the Jazz Spotlight podcast, for telling us more about Rocket to the Stars and, you know, explaining why musicians need an EPK, what are the features of an EPK, some common PR mistakes, and for what you do for the music community. And again, guys, I want to urge you to go to rockettothestars.com and sign up for Wade's newsletter. You should get a free copy of his book, and it's something that I'm sure is going to really help your career. Okay, next episode, next week, Tuesday's episode, it's going to be another fun episode with great value as always. And we're going to talk about artist management. And I love the next guest who's going to be on the podcast. She's an artist manager. So if you've ever wondered, you know, what are actually artist managers? What do they do? What are they looking for when they look for artists? Or where do I find one? You're going to get the answers to all those questions and more answers on Tuesday. Like always, I'm Yanni Lunga, and this is the Jazz Spotlight Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and a quick reminder that if this is the first episode and you want to get more out of the podcast, you can find it on iTunes at thejazzspotlight.com/show. Hit the subscribe button so that you get every episode on your smartphone or tablet or computer as soon as it's published. Thanks again for tuning in today, and wish you a great weekend. Take care.